Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
It's Daddy Speaks, the international transformational storyteller. Just what you need. Time to listen up for motivation on a journey with Betty Speaks.
Well, my name is Dr. Betty Speaks. I am your lifetime imprint leader. I'm extremely passionate about empowering individuals to resurrect and to establish themselves through the four components of life, and that spiritual growth, financial literacy, personal and professional development. I'm that chosen warrior. That's right. I tell you this every week. I'm that chosen warrior who inspires others to create an imprint that will live on long after they are gone. In other words, that imprint that will be here for infinity. I hold virtual group and family workshops that are about leaving an imprint. And I will help you understand the importance of rising above your life encounters and how you shall start facilitating simple things into your lives just by getting rid of the stress that plagues our country. That is for the turning of overcoming bad battles by being strong and courageous. I'm sorry, my phone is beeping here and it's getting me off track. But I want you to know that this is an intentional, motivational, plus inspirational show that is filled with wisdom that will awaken your hope, your ambition, your faith, and inner strength, plus cover a variety of genuine, life-changing topics designed to encourage our listeners who are worldwide with the knowledge that strength doesn't come from what you can do. It comes from overcoming those things you once thought you couldn't. And you see our title for today. I want to say that I have a very unique guest that's here with me. She's held here in the United States, but I will have her to introduce herself. And this is a very, very passionate topic that we have today, an intimate creation by God, and embracing his heavenly perspective. So I want to move out of the way just for a second and allow my special guest to come on and introduce herself. It's been a while since I've had a lady on, right? So she's going to introduce herself and tell you where she's hailed from. Guest, are you there?
Good morning, Dr. Betty. Yes, I am here.
Wow. Well, tell our guests, like I said before, this show has a huge listening. So just tell us your name and where you're hailed from.
Okay. So my name is Christy Chance Stark, and I hail you from the city of Kingsland, Georgia, which is in the United States of America, southeastern part, very, very close to Florida, for those of you who are familiar with American geography. But that's where I am, and I proudly am a U.S. veteran. I have served also, as Dr. Speaks have, and we have so much in common in many things.
I love it. I'm sitting here. You guys know I always tell you I get to sit here and look at my beautiful or handsome guest as she's just flowing with laughter and her and gracing me with her phenomenal presence. I love the fact that we both served our country, honestly. And yes, and we do. We have so much in common. You know, we are Jesus women together. We definitely do a lot of fellowshipping with others that are associated with the Godhead's ministry. She's a city councilwoman, you know, plus a life coach. So she has a lot going on. I often say that even though we serve our country, we just can't stop serving. And that's what I love about this woman of God. She is still serving. no longer for her country, but now for her community, and most of all for her kingdom. So let's dive on into our subject today. Councilwoman, I'm ready to talk about our topic. First of all, I know that we've got so many compliments on the topic as we've been promoting today's event, and people are like, wow, I can't wait to listen to that. I want to say, what motivated you to speak on today's topic?
Well, actually, Dr. Betty, like you said, I am a Jesus woman. And I also serve my community in the political realm. And so all that is going on right now, as a matter of fact, the reason I'm actually in this office, first of all, we know is by orchestration of God. But secondly, all that started happening in our world, you know, back in 2020, you know, it just moved me to a place of, first of all, growing my relationship with the Father. And then second of all, once I began to listen to his leading, I felt led to begin to run for office, where I felt like I could impact, you know, my community. Being at the table is different than being on the menu at the table. So as a woman, I decided it is time. I believe that I could do more rather than just sitting back and talking. So that led, of course, we see what has happened in our society right now, with the latest decision through the Supreme Court with Roe versus Wade, and being in connection with other women of God. And I thank God for this path. I just recently went to the GMA, which is the Georgia Municipality Association of Elected Officials. I just went to their conference, and I looked around that room at the how the number of women are growing, in elected positions in the political arena, and I realized that we have a voice. We can make an impact on our society. So the question that how I got involved in this discussion with you, Dr. Betty, is because I reached out to you and a couple other Christian women just to find out from you, what your perspective was on the Roe versus Wade, because I see how obviously, you know, this impacts women. And that led to this discussion, because I do believe that the view that I have, you know, is going to be different. But then a lot of people. But I also think that it causes deep retrospection and deep reflectiveness and how we can move forward as women in the United States.
Yes, and I want to say that I remember sending you a message, and it elevated. You sent me a message back, and I was like, oh, let's give her something to talk about then.
Yes, you put me on the spot. But yes, the message that you sent was about prayer, praying for our society, praying for women. And that prompted me to just seek your, really just kind of sit down and hear what you had to say as a Christian woman about this topic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it reads, I said, a life change now, Christianity overturn, a life change now and Christianity overturn of the Roe versus Wade by the Supreme Court. And the decision has also divided our Christian community. So I can't see what I said after that, but I talked to, do you have your notes there?
I do. That's what got me. The decision has also divided the Christian community, and that is the truth. So as Christians, you wrote the next line, as Christians, we know the exact value of life. We know that we were all made in God's image. And this is Genesis 1 and 27. And the intimate way he formed all of us in Psalms 139, and how much Jesus valued children and instructed their care And that was based off of Mark 10, 13 through 16. So after receiving a text like that, I had to get to talk to this sister so we can talk about our wonderful God and our beautiful lives.
Yes. And when we shared so much on that conversation, we talked about whether we were pro-life or post-life. And honestly, we developed some things because I shared with you that to me, I want to say I'm pro-life based on what I read in the Bible, you know, what I said, what's written there and where my beliefs are. But then there's a hint of me that wants to say, well, I'm post-life too, you know, because some lives one shouldn't want to bring, but it's not my choice. Because I'm a believer, I have to go by what I followed, that basic information before leaving Earth. And I even remember sharing with you that as a child, my mom would introduce me to family members and she would say, this is your cousin. This is my cousin. My mom would tell me it was her cousin. And then my dad would introduce me to the same family members. And my dad would say, this is my cousin. And I'm thinking, so how can you and mom have the same cousins? And I'm your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So and that to me is a huge question. And I've never ever thought of it like I have until all of the bickering went on concerning Roe versus Wade and the divisions between the churches about whether one should give life to a child. And I began to think, what if my mom and my dad did something they shouldn't have done, and then my mom got rid of me, you know? Mm-hmm. But our identity, you and I went deep in this subject. Talk to me, Dr. Christie.
Okay. So, Dr. Betty, you know, what you're talking about is a very, very real phenomenon in every culture, mm-hmm. not just this culture, but, you know, decisions that people make in their lives that obviously no decision we make, good or bad, you know, goes without a consequence or reward. And so I want to just, you know, bring it back to when Roe versus Wade, you know, was actually enacted in 1973. I was born in 1972.
Wow.
However, we know abortions have gone on, you know, since women were able to try to, you know, to abort a life that they did not want to carry. And so before I get into the pro-choice or the pro-life discussion, I wanted to say that we have to think about, you know, what happens, where our thoughts are shaped from, right? So in 1973, me being born in 1972, my entire adulthood or even my teenage years, you know, Roe versus Wade was a standard. It was normal. The Supreme Court had, you know, made it legal for abortion in the United States. So even as growing up as a teenager, you know, I remember girls that, you know, had gotten pregnant or rumors of girls getting pregnant and, you know, they missing for a few days out of school and then they come back and they're not pregnant anymore. And people didn't really talk about it, but I also had, you know, I did at that point, it was the way of the world. And even though I was a Christian and I grew up in a Christian home, we didn't discuss those things, right? So abortion was normalized. Let's just say it like that. Mm-hmm. Even in my life, even though I didn't have a child until I was actually married, and it wasn't a happy marriage, you know, my first child, I remember considering abortion as an option, right?
Wow.
And I was in my 20s. I was 21, 22 years old. So for every child I had over the life of my 17-year marriage, I talked to my husband about the option of abortion. And thank God, you know, we decided not to do that. So I realized that there are women, girls all over that don't have those choices, doesn't have that support process. And it is a very difficult decision for anybody to make. But I'm going to go back to even my mother. My mother, to this day, doesn't necessarily talk about it until you ask. But the generation before us, you know, there are lots of children who were conceived out of whatever the situation was that thank God, you know, that they are that their parents decided to keep them for whatever the whatever happened. And they're here now, just like yourself. My mother was pregnant at the age of 17. She was one of the smartest people in her class. As a matter of fact, she should have graduated as a valedictorian. But because she got pregnant, and because you know, she immediately got married after that. But because now she's pregnant and married in high school, she was asked to step down so that a boy could get a scholarship so he could go to college. Because back then, when schools were segregated, there was only a couple of scholarships for the top Black students. And so my mother had to forego college, but she made a choice. And she had my oldest sister, who obviously, thank God for her life, being my older sister and all that she's done in her life. So there's those secrets in every family, to address your question. But I, but of course, we just have to look at, you know, even, you know, the Oprah Winfreys of the world, the people who were born out of really, really difficult situations, that the gifts that they brought to the world, ultimately, what a joy. And you know, thank God that their mother decided to move forward with life.
Yes. And we're talking about an intimate creation by God, embracing his heavenly perspective. This is what we're talking about, because even though my parents, you know, laid down out of wedlock, it was still an intimate creation by God. And that's what we're talking about today, these intimate creations that were created by God, because my mother could have easily miscarried, you know, your mom could have easily miscarried and still been to hell the womb until she was married and carried another child. So this is the, you know, some people have the mishaps of miscarriages, but to abort a child that has that, that was an intimate creation by God.
However the seed connected with the you know, with the sperm, whatever that is, the word of God tells us in Psalms 139. And this is where, like I said, my earlier years of life, I was shaped by the realities and the mindset of the world, which was, you know, abortion is an option. I was shaped by that. That was the generation that I grew up in the United States. That was always an option. But as I began to seek the Lord as as a more mature woman of God, God began to direct my mind to how much he loves humanity. And we know, you know, just how much he loves his creation. And so when we look at Psalms 139, it tells us that God says, I knew you before I placed you in your mother's womb. So there's something already, God is attached to us already, no matter how it comes, how life comes into being, God already, you know, has seen this ahead of time. So while it was a surprise to those that, you know, is carrying the baby, it was not a surprise to our father. He said, I saw you before I put you in your mother's womb. And then I intricately and intimately sewed you together. I formed you. I wove you together, cell by cell, tissue by tissue, organ by organ. God formed us through his love. And so that, to me, when he began to show me how much he loves me, that's where he took me to Psalms 139. And the very first verse of Psalms 139 says, God, examine me. Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. And he says he knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows our sentences before we even say it. So, you know, when we become intimately involved with someone that we love in a love relationship, even with a friend, sometimes your friend can finish your sentence before you finish talking it, but we serve a God that says, I know the sentence before it even gets in your mouth. I thank God that. So Psalms 139 just began to show me his love, how much he loves. God never created a soul that he did not love. Amen. So that's the thing that we have to remember about all life, no matter how it comes into existence.
You've answered a lot. Say that again. I'm sorry.
I say he does. He says he has a plan for every one of us.
For every one of us. This is so true. And I you got me on fire over here. My toes are moving. You know how we are when we're on these Jesus calls. And this is that's what this is. You share something with me. I wanted to ask you, what is your definition of embracing his heavenly perspective? But as I ask you that question, I want you to share with me, and I know this may be a confidential conversation. You shared a conversation with me. We're both military, and we know things that happen to us in the military. And there's an acronym, MST, which is military sexual trauma. No one wants to get pregnant by someone that they don't have feelings for, or maybe they do, but things happen on both of our career paths. But I want you to talk about that just briefly as you explain embracing his heavenly perspective as you have gone through something horrific. You know what I'm, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. So one thing that I have, God has blessed me to do, as you know, through the years, again, him having the plan, you know, for my life, my time in the military, I was in the U.S. Army in the 1990s, and women at that time was more widely accepted into the military in various jobs, but the culture was not there to really support and protect you know, the women from a male-dominated culture.
Right.
And so over the years, of course, back then I had no idea, you know, I knew what was going on was wrong, but I didn't know, you know, to what extent this was happening. And so you and I both share, you know, and many, many military women, now, just recently since President Barack Obama, more action has now come legislation, as well as litigation, cases that begin to show up about all of the sexual trauma that women had endured while they were in the military, not being equal, or feeling like women, you know, women would have to sleep with people in order to, you know, get into the ranks, or women were being raped and attacked, you know, against their will in many cases, or, you know, just kind of passed around as almost, I can't even describe it, in that culture. So in a lot of ways, women were forced to be sexualized and exploited, yes, in many, many ways. So I had an incident that is similar. And again, since Obama, President Obama, and now President Trump put some things into place to help women deal with these traumas in their lives and to be compensated for those. So I am on a mission to let women know these things that happened to you, they were not normal. But I, in my particular case, I thank God, you know, that this person of senior rank did not actually, you know, have sex with me, but I was put in a position where if one thing fell out of place, you know, that he would have been able to take full advantage of me. I was 18 years old and, you know, totally just young and dumb, you know, and ended up in a place where I shouldn't have been, but I wanted to go because that seemed like what everybody was doing. But anyway, without going into that story too deep, this happens all the time. So again, God had the plan for my life, and I was not raped, but I was put in a very precarious situation that if I did not think fast or quickly, you know, I would have been, you know, certainly a victim of rape. But I've seen women who were victims and who have to make this difficult choice of having an abortion. And you know, one of the very, very, very difficult cases that one of the ladies did have an abortion back then, worked for a medical facility, and her command line was so cruel to her, and they're the ones who put her in that situation. But I mean, they had her to handle the babies that were born, stillborn, and wow, things like that, and that just impacted the trauma even more in people's lives. So that is a real thing. One of the things I did want to get into, Dr. Betty, is just, you know, where the thought process, again, being shaped by the world, for those that are of the world, they understand the things of the world. But those that are in the spirit, they understand the things of the spirit. And so what I kind of really wanted to, I wanted to dive into, as I have a master's in business administration, I've learned to do a lot of research, right? and I also am now working on my doctorates in business. And so I'm learning how to do a lot of research, but I just began to research this topic this year. And see, this is where we now are in an age of information. We can go back and we can see records of what is happening in our society, what has happened. And even though people want to wipe history away, you can't change it, right? It is there. And so if you don't mind, if I like to share.
You have the floor.
I would like to just share some basics, basic understanding. This whole idea of abortion in the United States actually came about through a woman named Margaret Sanger. Okay. And I saw a documentary about her probably 15 years ago. And it really struck me as, wow, look at this. So Margaret Sanger was a believer of a movement called eugenics. She was a daughter of a Confederate soldier. She was, did rallies at KKK rallies and things like that. This is in the early 1900s. And so she came up with this plan to stop the growth of American Negroes, because since the days of slavery, of course, the fear that the slaves would outnumber, you know, those of Caucasian descent in America, that was always a very real fear. And of course, you know, anyone would be able to understand how fearful that could be, that, you know, the actual people that are being oppressed are outnumbering those that are the oppressors. So at the early 1900s, Margaret Sanger was in a position where she had a lot of influence with politicians and things like that. And she started a movement, and this came out of the birth control movement. And she started a movement that says that was going to be able to legalize abortion. And they put these centers of abortion in the African-American community. So the very lowest communities, they had a all out effort to put those abortion centers in minority neighborhoods. So this movement called eugenics, it's not new. You know, we've seen it throughout history, where ethnic cleansing and things like this, you know, was available. But if you look at what has actually happened right now in America, if we just fast forward to look to her efforts were concerted efforts to get with the ministers in all the Black communities, to help the Black communities' ministers, because they knew that was the voice of authority in the communities, to help control the population, the birth population. Yes, African-American communities were extremely poor, and that was by design, coming out of the system of slavery and coming out into going into the Jim Crow era. So yes, they were extremely poor. They were impoverished. They did not have support, and families were having 10 and 15 children. But so again, she worked with Negro ministers in these communities to set these clinics up, allow for free abortions, to basically cut down the population. So when we look at that, Dr. Betty, and we look at where we are in 2022, the 2022 census, the African-American population is now less than the Hispanic population in the United States. So did her efforts work? Was that strategic? Yes, we know that the number of abortions in the African-American community continue to outpace the number of abortions in every other race, Amen. Because they're there. They're set up in those communities where people can go and easily access it. So let's look at the birth rate. In 2019, the birth rate for abortion in the United States, there were more abortions in the United States performed in 2019 than there were live births in the whole state of New York. Just for perspective. Okay. Yes. And so when we look at, look at that. Look at how that is affecting the human population. We go back to, when we talk about eugenics, you can go back to the 70s. You and I both remember the 70s mm-hmm. when the Chinese had a birth capita that if you had a girl child, you could have it. You could abort it or you could kill it because they did not want all these girls being born. So now you fast forward 40 years in China today, the women population is only 10% compared to the male population. Men my age don't have somebody to marry. They don't have a mate. There's no mates. They're having to go outside the country and now marry foreigners to populate China. These things
I need to go to China. No,
there are the married. Come on, girls, go on over there, get up. But that just
that's
shows
a shame.
You.
Yes.
Yes, the plan is, it comes from a very deep, dark, evil origin. Yes. And we need to know that. And we need to think about how that has actually impacted and affected our the number of African-Americans even today. So we can't be fooled by the world. We can't be conformed by the world system. We have to think about this from the kingdom perspective. And truly, as Christian women, embrace God's plan. He will never fail us. He says, I am the provider. And if we could just help other women and support women in that aspect, we would be in a different, in a different place.
I love it. And it's so, there's so much going on and the media, when you just see the crowd still that are around the world that are either pro for or pro against, and it's scary. We also talked about, how do we educate our kids on what's going on? How do we keep them abreast of all these different topics that are in the medias today? I noticed I call him my love child. He has his own personal phone, which is another subject, but he's 7 years old. How are we educating our kids today with what's going on?
From that perspective, Dr. Betty, this is, how I view things. And of course now, this conversation is not going to be something that is received by the world, right? Yes. Because again, that's born of the world is the world. That's just born of spirit is spirit. Mm-hmm. So being able to even embrace the kingdom perspective of life is going to be very difficult and challenging for people. But I turn my conversation now as a lawmaker. And though I thank God I'm not, obviously not in Washington, D.C. making laws, but we all, but we all are connected, even in our local communities. Yes. I turn this conversation, I believe, as women, we are now in a position that we have, especially Black women coming into the political arena, we are now in position that we've never had before. If you look at the boards of, the top Fortune 500, women continue to be as in terms of seats on the boards that make decisions for every corporation, that make this, all these important decisions for our society. Women continue to be less than 20 to 30% of the board, always, right? And Black women, even more, there's an even less percentage. 5% of women on corporate boards. When you look at the legislation, 29% of women now are, congressional seats or Senate seats. And you go to the state sides, in every state, you have, just about the same average, 29 to 30% of women make decisions. But as we continue to grow in this time, women have a unique opportunity to change legislation and to change you know, the way that the world thinks about support for women in the workplace.
Yes.
Women, you know, obviously, instead of, you know, the focus really being about this Roe versus Wade, which I think, you know, is an important topic. And it is, you know, clearly it does indicate our, the, you know, women's importance, but it's actually time, you know, that to me is a smokescreen, because what we should be talking about is, if I go to work for you, Mr. or Mrs. CEO, what can you help me to do? And just, you know, rather than a paycheck and a livable wage, but how can you help me go to work and my children are taken care of at home? How can I be productive in the workforce? In corporate America, when we look at this, women actually, there's a term called opting out. So they say the women aren't reaching the highest levels because women tend to opt out of corporate promotion. And they opt out, why? For family purposes. So as women, our conversation needs to be on these boards. How can we expand childcare? How can we provide benefits that, you know, are, you know, provide adequate prenatal care? How can we look at, when a woman has a child, what we can do to help her, you know, go back to work in a way that she knows she doesn't have to leave her child at 6 weeks or 4 weeks or 8 weeks, but she can come back in 3 months and 6 months, like other, you know, other cultures do, so that she knows that her child has a good foundation. These are the conversations we are trying to be, you know, trying to adapt to a male society when we have actually more women, 55% of women that are in the workforce. So women, my appeal to you is get active in your community, and you know what it takes for you to go to work every day. You know what that your children after school has to be taken care of. Can we provide schedules that are flexible that women can leave work or go to work, you know, after they safely drop their children off and then come back at a decent time? Can we have childcare at workplaces? All these people, you know, all these places need women to work. So why are we falling in line with the way society has been and not changing the narrative? Black women have the highest mortality rate in childbirth, Dr. Betty. Why is that in 2022? Is it because they don't have the same access to childcare? You know, so we need to be having that conversation. I think that should be, you know, that should be our mantra now, demanding that the workplace provide and help us support our children. We can do so much more when we come together and we put our voices together and we use the power that we have. And especially Christians, we have the heavenly perspective. We can't lose. If God be for us, who can be against us?
I'm not so messing with you.
So that's how I see it. I think that's where law needs to be changed.
I am not messing with her, you know. She has given us a mouthful. You know, we're talking about embracing God's presence, embracing his beliefs. There's so much that my sister has said. And for those of you that are just now tuning in, this is an intimate creation by God. We're talking about intimate creations by God, embracing his presence, his perspective. I keep saying presence, but just embracing his perspectives as it's outlined in Psalms 139. And this all came about as a result of the overturn of Roe versus Wade and how division has come among Christians in terms of they are pro-life or pro-choice. And we're just giving you our opinions here. Based on our experiences, we are two women veterans, so we've served our country, we serve our community, and now we're serving our kingdom. And my sister, I keep calling her Congresswoman, but she says, no, I'm state, I'm speaking.
Maybe one day, if that's the plan of God, I'll be there.
I am speaking it. Because women our little girls need to hear a powerful woman's voice. And let me tell you, this young lady is a powerful woman's voice. She's held out of the state of Georgia in the United States of America. Female veteran. So she's done her time in the United States Army. So why not continue to do time for her community there in Georgia? And be a state representative at that, you know? And she's been saying some powerful stuff. you know, a city councilwoman there in Georgia. She's honestly, the fact that she believes in women's rights is what I've been hearing. You know, God has given her the breath to speak to the world about women's rights. And I honestly will bring her back. There's another show that I want her to, after listening to some of the things she just said, I want her to speak to some women in another country, especially in Liberia. That's one of where I have a lot of women that are trying to let their voices be heard. And they need to hear from a powerful sister like my Jesus woman sister here. Yes, my veteran comrade. And
yes, that sounds wonderful.
Yes, and I'm telling you, sis, I did a call, a symposium last month, I think it was, and one of the young ladies asked me, how do I prepare myself for my husband? And I'm like, no, she didn't just ask me that. You know, first I had it, and based on me and my grandmother and most of the women in my life growing up, they didn't prepare me for a husband. They prepared me for Jesus. You know, they prepare me for God. That's what they're preparing me was for. I hear people say that I was educated about the birds and the bees. I still haven't been educated on the birds and the bees. You know, I'm like, what about the birds and the bees? Give me the facts, you know? So yeah. I I need to Google that when we get off this call. But have you heard about the birds and the bees yet? No. Well, let your mother tell you about the birds and the bees. Okay. But still, my answer to her was, you know what? I was always taught to prepare for Christ. I was always taught to be ready for his coming. I was taught to be fearful of God. You know, that's how I was raised. You better fear God first, because he's going to come get you. And that was where my preparing was for, you know, for him. So I shared with her, as most women do, I love the book of Proverbs, you know, that Proverbs woman, you know, I said, if a man is seeking you, you seek God. If you are looking at a man, take your eyes off that man and look for God, because he's going to be jealous of you. So these are the things that I grew up with. And I'm so, as I heard speaking, I was like, oh my God, I got to get her on this other show. Yes, she will be on this show so that other women can hear how passionate she is about developing a woman, about a woman taking her stance in life today, in 2022, right now.
That's right.
Now, NOW, no other way but now, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
We've been on for a while. We were only supposed to be here for a few moments, but give us your final takeaway concerning our subject for today, and your favorite, you know, your favorite verse on this term or the chapter, you know.
Okay. So, Dr. Betty, I think I would just like to leave this with the audience, that this journey of life is all about choices. God made humanity in very unique, very different from all other creation, in that just like he has a will, he gave every man a will. And he gave, so in having your own will, you have the ability to choose. So ultimately, God gave us the ability to really choose him, to choose the truth out of everything in this life. He says in Acts 17 and 27, he gave everybody the ability and a measure of faith in order to find him. The word says that they should seek the Lord, mankind, all made out of one blood, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far, being God, be not far from every one of us. So when I say this, God gives us the ability to choose him, to choose his love, to choose his perspective. And if we trust God enough, with our lives and with everything that is happening in our lives, we will see that he actually has a beautiful life and a life with him that is incomparable to anything that the world could give us. So I'd just like to leave that with you that, you know, in the question of pro-choice or pro-life, God showed me even through women who have had abortions in the past, who chose abortion, that the grace of God is sufficient. It is enough. And he still loves you. He, as a matter of fact, he is caring for that soul right now that was aborted. And that's, you'll meet him. You'll meet that soul one day in heaven. So we just got to see it from God's way that if he saw you before he placed you in your mother's womb, the word of God in Psalms 139, you asked me my favorite passage. It is the whole Psalms 139 because it says that he wrote every day of our life already in a book. So we just thank God for the book that's written in our favor. So, and I leave that for believers and anyone that is not a believer. If you just find God and find the truth, you will find every answer that you need.
That's what I said. You're going to be listening to nothing but the stone cold truth here on this show. So that's why I love telling our audience, thank you so much for tuning in. We definitely appreciate your comments. You can, reach me at bettyspeaks.com, leave comments there on my website. Just make a comment and say, hey, I listened to your podcast. You and the city councilwoman was talking to me. And I'm so glad to know that the Lord is not judging me for aborting a child. The Lord is not judging me for for being pregnant at a certain age, or he has grace, and his grace is sufficient. That's what I need to know. Yes. And we don't judge you either. You know, there's not a story that you can share with either one of us, and we can't reflect back on it. Honestly, as she and I did our pre-conversations, we're like, me too. You
too. Yes.
Oh my gosh, me too. So we're like, oh my goodness, no wonder we're tethered together. And that's what I love about being a child of God, because he's going to tether you with those that has the same story. So you'll know for a fact that it's not just your story too. But if you don't talk about it, this is something she and I said before. We were on the phone for hours, so we can't stay here with you all that long. But if you don't talk about it, if you don't reach out to herself or me, and I would get her to leave you her information because she is a life coach. You have to share what you've been exposed to, and don't keep it hidden. Don't keep it bottled up inside of yourself. You're gonna order to go through something, you have to grow through it, honestly. Yeah.
And bring the light to it.
Because it's not going to be just you. There's so many females. And like we said, we both are veterans. There's so many men and women too, that have taken the advantage of the opposite sex and think that they can get away with it, you know? And we're not just talking about what the men did to women. We're talking about what women did to men too, because they're both victims. But we are definitely advocate for the females, because we tend to think of the shame part of it. We think of retribution, you know. So contact her. I'll let her give her information to you. She's a phenomenal woman of God. She's not going to judge you. She will definitely pray for you. I felt the Holy Spirit in her presence as she was speaking earlier. Give us your contact information, my sister.
Absolutely. So you can reach out on Facebook at Christy, K-R-I-S-T-Y, Chance, C-H-A-N-C-E. On Facebook, you will find me, and it will say that I am a life coach. You can also go on Instagram, and I am the Miss Level Up Coach on Instagram. And and that relates to my book called Level Up. But you can also reach me by phone, 912-580-7232. And I would love to spend time talking with you. And if I can't help you, there are many Jesus women who can. So
yes, I will yes, make you yes. there. And we've touched and agreed to be just accountable to one another in order that we could reach out to our communities, because there are still so many unsung songs. And honestly, the reason, like she said, the reason we're here today is just because of a little prayer I sent to her. And then she sends me back a dissertation. And what are your thoughts on this? Oh, wow, let's talk about it. Let's talk about that, because we want, it was like, let's pray that we as Christians can work together through this process, through this huge topic that has been plaguing the universe. And I just want to say that, you know, if you're stuck right now with what the turnaround or the turnover of Roe versus Wade, don't be. We're here for the, whether you're pro or choice. There's a word for you. And yes. I always say that, if one is stuck in a position or at a point in their life, the only one that can get you unstuck is you. So that's why we say reach out to us. I love the fact that her name is Christy Chance, you know, because you have a choice with Christy Chance, you know. and then I think, I don't know. Go ahead. She said, you have a chance with her. That. We're going to have to come up with rebranding her business with that.
But again, my campaign slogan was, take a chance with Christy Chance.
I love that. Or even just take a chance with Christy, you know? And then when people ask, well, what's your last name? Like they do me, what's your last name? And I'll say Speaks and I'll move on. But they're still like, no, what's your real last name? Oh, you're still talking about my last name? Well, it Speaks. So I can see how once we tether together and they're taking a chance with Christy, or they would like to speak to Betty, you know, how confusing that will be to them. But we thank you so much for tuning in to this. Is like overcoming battles by being strong and courageous. And our topic today was an intimate creation by God, embracing his perspectives. So you heard my sister talk about Psalms 139. She said that is her favorite message. And I encourage you all to take Psalms 139 and embrace it, especially if you are confused about your creation, your being. Take that verse and run away with it. And if you're still stuck, reach out to Christy Chance. She just gave you her contact information. Remember that you've been listening to a phenomenal show on overcoming battles by being strong and courageous. And strength doesn't come from what you can do. It comes from overcoming those things you once thought you couldn't. So I thank you for tuning in with me and my new friend, Christy, and you have not heard the last of us. Thank you.
Get exclusive content. You just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.